one going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, happy Thursday. We are underway on this Thursday, November 21st. Welcome to the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddledome with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg, and welcome to the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock & Save. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. We've got a busy hour ahead. We're calling this the goaltending power hour because we've got our goalie guru, Kevin Woodley, queued up a little bit later on this hour from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. He will close out the hour, but with the buzz very, very firmly in this city, all on Dustin Wolf. We thought we'd go to this guest because who better to talk about Dustin Wolf than the guy who has worked side by side with him almost the entirety of the last three seasons outside of this one. Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Seeker as well. We go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcome Calgary Wranglers goaltending coach Mackenzie Skapski to the program. Mackenzie, appreciate the time. Where do we find you on this Thursday? Where are you coming at us from today?
Hey guys, we just got to Tucson. We just landed from San Diego earlier today.
Okay. So we weren't sure if we were going to get you in Tucson or you'd still be in San Diego. Okay, so you've made it to Tucson, where the Wranglers will wrap up this road trip. 5-game road trip, 7 straight games on the road for the Calgary Wranglers after a win over San Diego on Wednesday night. Mackenzie, everybody's buzzing about Dustin Wolf in this city right now with what he's been able to do, especially recently. How much fun, even from afar, are you having seeing the box scores or watching some of the video, so on and so forth? Like, how thrilled are you to see what's happening with Dustin here on the Flames?
Yeah, it's really cool to see, and ultimately you're just happy for him. I mean, if you go back to last year, obviously there's a lot of up and down between the Wranglers and the Flames, and it seemed like whenever he would come down to us, his first game back, he'd never be so good. And then he'd go up there, and it was just kind of up and down. He'd have a good game, bad game, and I think you're really starting to see him get comfortable at that level and with time, and obviously he's seeing some pretty good results. So it's pretty cool.
Are you surprised, even though you've worked with him for the last three seasons side by side, are you a little surprised how quickly he's kind of picked up the NHL pace in the NHL game this year?
He's about 20 games in now, right? So he's had some time. I think the biggest thing was having time consistency, right? Like having consistent time up at that level to be able to establish the game that he wanted to play, but in terms of his talent, I'm not surprised. He has all the tools, and he's an exciting young prospect for sure.
I know about a year and a half ago, Wes and I, after Dustin's first NHL game, that game 82 against San Jose where he picks up the win, the day after we had Jordan Sigalette, director of goaltending, on with us, and he was like, yeah, I'm like a proud papa watching Dustin Wolf get in there and play his first NHL game. Do you get those same vibes, like just on top of how thrilled you are, just kind of feel proud knowing that, hey, this is a guy that you've worked with so closely for the last number of years?
Yeah, I mean, we've spent a lot of time together, both at the rink and away from the rink. We've done a lot together, so we have a fairly good relationship. And you're obviously excited for him to break through here and have some success. But you know, with that being said, I guess it's the position that we play and the position that we coach. Like, you're never really too excited because things can change quickly and things can uptick quickly.
Mackenzie, with that in mind, you know, one of the things Dustin said after his start Tuesday and the shootout victory over the Islanders, you know, he talked about being in the zone. And I'm curious, you know, whether it's with Dustin, whether it's with any goalie. Now, from a coaching standpoint, how do you help a guy find the zone? And beyond that, how do you stay there?
Well, like, I think he always, like, in my opinion, like, nothing's really changed with Dustin. Like, he's just been able to execute the way he wants to play at that level. And that's tough to do. Like, it's, you're changing levels, which is a big deal. You have more people in the stands, more people talking about you. You can get distracted easily. But at the end of the day, like, he has a strong base and he understands what he needs to do. And along that way in the NHL, there's a few things that you need to tinker because the reads are a little bit different. But I think what you're seeing is him being able to execute his game plan at that level that he's always done at this level. And I think when he refers to being in the zone, there's a strong correlation between believing in your game, being able to execute your game, and then that ultimately feeds your mindset. So I think that's the zone that he's talking about.
You mentioned strong base, and I think this is a good opportunity. You know, if I can set this up for you, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, just your approach to your work as a goalie coach. And, you know, you and I have had some discussions about this, and, you know, you always talk about one of the first things you do when you're working with a goalie is you ask them a very specific question, and that's, tell me what you're good at. Can you just sort of set that up for us, just kind of how that has become one of the principles of your work, whether it was with Dustin, whether it's now with Cooley, with Ignatiev, with any goalie that you're working with?
Yeah, like that's, I mean, I'm really interested to hear from the athlete, number one, on what they think their strengths are. And a lot of the times that comes in a skill format. So Dustin was really good at mentioning the skills that he was really good at. Now, the difficult thing for me with Dustin was I was taking over a job where he just got goalie of the year and had a 925. And I was a young goalie coach coming into the league. But that being said, like I saw quite a few, I don't want to say deficiencies, but quite a few areas of potential improvement within his game that he needed to make that next jump. So that was, and that's a difficult conversation because you're talking to a kid who's had success throughout his junior career into his first year pro. And as I mentioned to you a couple weeks ago, I put together a highlight package of his goals against in the previous year. And, you know, I mentioned how I think he should play and how I want him to play. And, I mean, you guys have talked to him. He's a pretty serious, stubborn guy. And credit to him, he was on board with it. And he took strides that following year and became the AHL MVP. And that's tough to do, to go from a 925 to 932. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but, you know, he made strides that year and then at the end of the year, you cap it off with a video of his progression on how he executed the way we wanted to play and night and day differences. So, I mean, credit to him for number one, embracing that and number two, being able to execute it.
And then, so that part of it, you know, like let's figure out what your greatest strengths are or what your greatest strengths should be. When is that most important for a goalie? Like what makes that, from your vantage point, the sort of foundation that you need to be working from?
Well, like it sort of ties in with your previous question. Like some people know their strengths, like their skill set, and other people don't. So, for example, like you use a guy like Devin Cooley, and I ask him what his three things are that he's good at, and he's like, well, I'm athletic, I have good post play, and I'm a good puck handler. And then my following question is, how does that translate into stopping pucks? And there really is no answer. They don't know how to come up with an answer for that. So that's when we can start to dive into things. and we can lay the base on how we need to consistently stop pucks. And it's tricky because you need to pitch in a way where it's not subjective thinking, it's subjective thinking. You can both agree on it. And the way that, you know, I had Dustin trying to play is the exact same way I have Devin Cooley trying to play, because they have very similar skill sets. And ultimately, you need to pitch something to the athlete where they believe that this works. So it's sort of a two-part of thing where it's like they need to be able to identify their skills, but then they need to be able to utilize those skills so they can capture execution, so they can capture consistency through good measurables and ultimately having a good mindset.
Yeah. We're chatting with Wranglers goaltending coach Mackenzie Skapski, joining us here this hour on Flames Talk. Wes Gilbertson, my name is Pat Steinberg. Good opportunity to transition it from Dustin to what you've got right now with this Wranglers group right now, and another win for Devin Cooley in that 4-3 win over San Diego on Wednesday. And Mackenzie, you've got a goaltender right now sitting at 947 in his first year in the organization playing with this Wranglers group. If you can, tell us a little bit about working with Devin Cooley this year and how much fun, how kind of gratifying that's been.
Yeah, he's been great. Like he's a really excited individual, very motivated. Obviously, you know, walking into this year, and credit to Siggy and the rest of our goalie department for identifying Devin as having skills and ultimately executing and bringing him into the organization. So that's number one. But, you know, number two is just like walking into this year, he played 66 games in this league. He, I think, was around 3-2 and a sub 900 save percentage. So he really had a guy that, like, from an outside perspective, had a lot of talent, but has never really had the opportunity and has never done strong things with that, I guess. So, you know, he's doing a really good job. He's an explosive, he's a flexible big man who's utilizing his size now, limiting his movement, getting the plays early. He's able to make more reads on plays, to get over to plays. And I think if you ask him, he's playing a really simple brand of hockey that is easily accessible at this point.
I remember when Devin signed, we spoke with him and he talked about kind of what he's been working on and how he's like, look, I know that I'm really athletic and I know the things that I'm good at, but now I'm kind of trying to harness that and not be kind of too busy in the net. And then we spoke to him here in the Hot Stove Lounge during training camp, and he talked about how it's like, hey, this is the – now that he is – starting to get more NHL time, it's like really the first time he's gotten high-end coaching throughout his career and didn't have a lot of goaltending coaching coming up through the ranks until the last number of years. As a goalie coach, how evident is that when you kind of get your hands on him? You're like, oh, yeah, I can see that there hasn't been a lot of formal coaching throughout the career. Is that pretty evident in terms of the fundamentals and what you're looking at?
Yeah, like I wouldn't say like he hasn't had coaching. Like there's skill coaching, and obviously he's had that somewhere along the way to be able to have the skills that he has. But in terms of like actual execution of things, like a lot of guys just waste their time, and this might be a bad thing, and hopefully no players are listening, but like they'll waste their time trying to work hard in practice and stop as many pucks as they can. And that sounds like a good thing on the surface, but in reality, you don't really accomplish anything. You're just satisfying yourself through a workout and satisfying yourself through being able to stop pucks in practice, which ultimately leads to Devin where he was at training camp when he was sent down to the Wranglers and not being able to answer a question, well, how do you stop pucks? So, like, it's not like he hasn't worked hard, or it's not like he hasn't tried to do things, but he's really had no game plan throughout that time, I guess. and to be able to utilize those skills and actually stop pucks behind that is the name of the game. And that's how you get opportunity, and that's how you progress level to level, I guess.
I know in the, like, if you talk to those in kind of entrenched in the goalie community and who understand the position, unlike the two guys you're talking to, okay, at least this guy. Everybody raves about kind of the raw skill set that exists and how much potential exists with Cooley. Like, what type of potential are we talking about here with him?
Ooh, that's always a difficult question to answer. I mean, you see it in front of you, and you deal with what you have as a coach, based on the level that you're at.
Yeah.
And like you saw with Dustin, like it takes time, and that's the big thing, is like how much time, and how much patience are you going to have with a guy, because ultimately they need to. Be up for a period of time like Dustin has to be able to feel what he felt at the American Hockey League level. And it's not like he doesn't know what that feels like and how to do it, but he just needs the time to be able to do it. So that's a tough question, but in terms of skill set and the way he's trending, like I would say, like him and Wolf are very comparable with how they move, like very comparable. They have very similar flexibility. Obviously, Devin's a little bit bigger of a guy. Dustin's reads are obviously lights out, and that's something that we're working on with Devin, and they're improving every day. But you know, Devin's progressing really well, and he's got, like I said earlier, like he's got all the skill to be able to do it, and he's got a game plan now, and he feels good with his game plan, and he's mm-hmm. finding consistency and where that leads to. I'm sure that leads to good things, and that's definitely going to lead to an opportunity if he continues to trust what he's doing right now.
Mackenzie, when you talk about, you know, the importance of time and you know, the importance of patience, if that's the right word for it, like, I'm curious how you approach it as a coach. You know, Jason LaBarbera will be dealing right now with Dustin Wolf, and you know, here we are in late November, and everyone wants to talk about Dustin Wolf as a Calder candidate. And you know, Devin Cooley gets off to a terrific start, and everyone at terrific start with the Wranglers, and everyone wants to say, "Okay, get him to the NHL. Look at these numbers. They gotta get him to the show." Is there a way to pump those brakes as a goalie coach when the outside buzz is what it is?
I mean the relationship that you have with the goalie is absolutely important. Like a big conversation that we're having with Devin right now is just the hockey becomes tougher, right? Like you're not hiding yourself with a 947 when you walk into an American Hockey League arena. Like, everybody knows who you are, and the pre-scouts are going to get even tougher, and the traffic's going to get even tougher, and the shot volume goes down, and the shot quality goes up, and they're really looking to expose you. So when people talk about distractions and getting caught up and all that, like, it becomes tougher. And I'm sure Dustin at that level, teams are going to be pre-scouting him harder, and there's going to be new stuff that comes up, and there's going to be more broken plays and more things that you can't read, and there's going to be days that it doesn't go your way. But over the course of the year, just coming back to what we work on, like, and believing in it and really not, like, and just evaluating it every day, is probably the biggest thing that leads to consistency, which I believe that both Dustin and Devin are pretty bought into, and they eliminate those distractions. And then at the end of the day, obviously you hope that they receive those awards.
Last one for you, Mackenzie, then we'll let you get back to your day off in Tucson. But just a thought on Valtteri Ignatiev and working with him for the first time as he's over in North America for the first time in his career. I guess just give us a little bit of a thought on Valtteri, what you're seeing there and what working with him has been like so far.
Yeah, he's been good. Like he's a quiet, but he's a smart kid. And he cares, and he's, you know, in terms of skill, you know, obviously he has really good size to him, and he's able to make good reads. The biggest thing with him, I guess, is the transition period, and I guess it's a little bit cliche when you say you're moving from a bigger ice to a smaller ice, which is definitely true, but he's also moving up in pace, right? Like the American Hockey League is obviously better than the league that he's coming from. And a lot of the stuff that we preach on a day-to-day basis is about pace and like pace on the perimeter and beating plays so we can make reads. And it seems to be something that Euros often have to adjust to when they do come over so they can understand it. But that's a big thing that we're working on right now. But I'm also of the belief that, you know, he'll start coming around on that more and more often and find more consistency with that. So he can utilize his skill set and utilize the talent that Jordan saw on him and I saw on him to get to where he needs to be.
Really appreciate the time, and that was a really fun conversation, really enlightening conversation, and all three guys we asked you about. Really appreciate it today, Mackenzie. Have a good rest of the trip through Tucson, and we'll see you when you're back here in a week or so. Thanks so much for doing this today, hey?
Okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That is Mackenzie Skapski. He is the goaltending coach of the Red Hot Calgary Wranglers. They've got Devin Cooley, who's tearing it up down there, and obviously Dustin Wolf, three straight years working side by side with Mackenzie as well. Pretty good guy to talk to about Dustin and what he's done so far this season.
Yeah, and when you talk to those in the business, I think Mackenzie Skapski is a little bit of a rising star in his own right. This is a guy who's only 30 years old and has a really bright future in the goalie coaching business. I think if you talk to Dustin, if you talk to Cooley, like they rave about
yep.
his work.
And that is Mackenzie Skapski, goaltending coach of the Calgary Wranglers. He joins us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Enjoy hockey and football game day specials at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home, call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The goalie power hour is what we're calling it this hour. Mackenzie Skapski, goalie coach of the Calgary Wranglers, joining us to kick off the hour. And now it's Thursday. It's time to say hello to our goaltending expert, Kevin Woodley, from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com out in Vancouver. By the way, Kev, Skapski says we have to grill you. That's kind of what we've been told to do. So we have to really throw you nothing but hardballs. Okay, so you ready?
Yeah, get settle in.
Deep breaths, ready to go. Hopefully I do better at this than I do actually stopping pucks.
Well, hey, I mean, the big topic in this city right now, people are raving about Dustin Wolf. His numbers just keep getting better on the outside. He's going to start his third consecutive game here against the New York Rangers. That'll be his sixth start in eight games. What are some of your observations, and what are you seeing both on the ice and the numbers that you dive into? Like, what are you observing right now with Dustin Wolf?
Well, I mean, I talked earlier this season about how much better the Flames have been to start the year than they were last year defensively, and that's kind of held up. But in the last week or so, these last handful of starts, his performance relative to that, like, it doesn't matter. It's still a good defensive environment, but his numbers have jumped, like taking a significant leap relative to it. So you can play behind a good defensive team and just sort of tread water. You can play behind a good defensive team and really outperform the environment. And right now he's really outperforming the environment to the tune of, for the season, when I look at his adjusted save percentage, it is alongside some pretty big names at plus 2%, which is 13th in the NHL right now. right next to a Andre Vasilevsky, tied with an Ilya Sorokin, just a hair behind who I'm assuming is his opponent tonight in Igor Shesterkin.
So,
he's full value for what he's doing right now. Like I said, there's a little bit of hiccups early, some moments there, and we always sort of said that would happen. The numbers, I think, stayed at a really high level in part because of what was going on in front of him. But it's him now. It's him combined with a good defensive team, fully deserving of the extra start. Going to be tested tonight because the Rangers are good offensively. We saw that here in Vancouver. But he's performing like not just like a top goaltender in the National Hockey League right now. And for him to do that in his first season, it's remarkable. Those adjusted numbers I just threw out at you, like some of the guys who are behind him right now, like how about a Connor Hellebuck trailing him in adjusted save percentage at this point of the season? So that's a hell of a start for the young man.
Getting some Calder Trophy buzz around the league too, and it's been 15 years since a goalie won the Rookie of the Year. That's starting to pick up a little steam too, Kev.
Well, I mean, if you continue to do what he's doing, and listen, there's inevitably going to be ups and downs and learning curves along the way, especially if they start playing him more and more regularly. One step is to adjust to the National Hockey League. Another step is to become that workhorse number one, or even semi workhorse number one. You lose the time with the goalie coach to work on your game because you're just more focused on managing your rest. So, probably prudent that they keep an eye on that and don't pile this up too deep, especially with Dan Vladar being good behind him as well. Mm-hmm. But you combine the story that the Flames are with the way he's playing, and it's fully deserved. When I look at some of the numbers, like the areas where he's been exceptional this season, one goal on 16 breakaways. Now they're not all full ice breakaways. There's three different kinds: partial breakaways, half ice breakaways. But overall, one goal on 16. That's near the top of the NHL. One timers, one goal on 32 one timers. That's in the top 10. One goal on 23 shots from the slot area. Probably an area where a lot of people might expect him to maybe struggle because we all look at the size. But his ability to sort of get to his spots, beat plays on his feet, hold his edges, be patient, like that's near the top of the league as well. So, I'd expect him to be there on breakaways because he is so quick and so patient. But there's some areas there that I think sort of push back against some of the narrative that you might expect for an undersized goaltender.
Kevin, I'm really curious because you just threw those stats at us. I didn't know all of those. Like, you go through breakaways, one-timers, slot shots. I'm going to put you on the spot here, but what one of those stats impresses you the most?
Probably, the one-timers to me isn't a surprise because he skates so well. And that's at the heart of so much of this conversation, right? And it's at the heart of a conversation I had with a bunch of guys over the last couple of weeks about sort of what goalie skating is. And you look at the way Dustin manages his edges. You look at the way UC Saros manages his edges. You look tonight at the way Shesterkin manages his edges, not just in terms of patience on his skates, but when they're down on their knees, the ability to sort of get those edges underneath them and remain mobile, even out of a butterfly. Shesterkin's sort of the poster child for that right now. I had one goalie coach a couple of years ago say it's like he's like a hovercraft out there the way he moves. So Dustin's ability on one-timers, maybe not a shock. Maybe breakaways just this early in his career, given there are probably a lot of shooters he doesn't have familiarity with. Given that you would expect that size to sort of, as a goalie, you're trying to get a guy to deke rather than shoot. Like that's sort of, it's a sort of the overall philosophy from a goaltending standpoint, because a deke essentially can go one of two ways, left or right, and a shot can go anywhere, right? High glove, low glove, by the ear, between the legs, blocker side, high, low, mid. There's any way you can shoot. And so for because of the size thing, because he hasn't seen these shooters at this level, the breakaway one maybe jumps out at me more than any.
He's got the Rangers, and this is a Rangers group that they can be a difficult team to play against if you're a goaltender. How come?
And they're fun at both ends. You guys are in for a good one tonight, I would think, because they create a ton and they give up a ton. And where they give up a ton is east-west in the defensive zone, but they also are, like, they're worst in the league at that. So if you can generate lateral offense sort of below the dots, you're going to, if you can convert those, they will be there for you. They also are in the top 10, flirting with the top five at the other end of the ice when it comes to creating east-west plays. They are a dynamic offensive team. They have lots of weapons. And then from a net front presence, they're also very strong sort of down in front of the other team's net. And obviously that's going to be the case when you've got a Chris Kreider, second in the league in net front offense, eighth in east-west offensive zone. Don't do much off the rush, odd man-wise, but in the offensive zone, they create. The good news is they may have the second-best net front offensive presence in the league, but the Flames are fourth-best right now in terms of net front defending. So I'm kind of serious. That's a matchup that I'm curious to see who wins that tonight, and it could go a long way towards deciding the winner of this game. When we talk about east-west in the offensive zone, as much as I focused on the good stats for Dustin Wolf right now, the one where slot line plays across the middle of the ice, and broken plays. Those are the two most goals he's given up. 8 slot line goals on 27 chances. Still barely below expected. Like, those aren't bad numbers because they are the toughest plays. But one of the few categories where he's ever so slightly below the expected numbers. And so against the Rangers team that's really good at, especially led by a Panarin, at sort of slowing things down and finding seams and finding lateral plays, it's going to be really important for him to sort of paint within the lines, stay within his lines, and that's typically the crease and inside the posts, and get good rotation and beat those plays side to side. Something, again, he's done for most of the year, but it'll be pushed and challenged tonight, perhaps more than most nights.
And then just one more on the Rangers. It's funny, you know, we're talking a lot about Dustin Wolf here, and there's always that talk. And whenever Dustin's mentioned, it's always about, well, and he's a smaller goaltender. Well, you take a look at that tandem on the Rangers, and the numbers Jonathan Quick has posted up as their backup are bonkers, and Shesterkin's one of the best in the world. And neither of those guys are what you'd consider the hulking frame NHL goaltender, hey?
No, I mean, two guys in the top 10 in the National Hockey League in terms of their adjusted numbers. Jonathan Quick, number one, best backup in the league so far this season. And Shesterkin, you know, sixth in the league. Not, again, Wolf's just barely behind both of them, but, you know, that's your top tandem in the NHL right now. And I'll be honest, like, I didn't see that coming for Jonathan Quick, and I got that one wrong. The numbers got that one wrong. They had slipped in L.A. and Vegas. I mean, the Golden Knights go all the way to the Stanley Cup final, and we saw all the options they went in net, and it was always somebody ahead of Jonathan Quick during that run. And, you know, the fact that was a Benoit Laire disciple and Sean Burke that coached there, I wondered, you know, if the changes in New York would make a difference, but they have. Whether it's playing less as the age goes up, or playing, you know, like I said about Wolf, sort of coloring between the lines. Like, there's way, way less aggression in Jonathan Quick's game now with the Rangers. And so I think a lot of those stereotypes, I had this conversation with UC Saros, who was also very complimentary of Dustin Wolf when he came into Vancouver after playing the Flames and Wolves for a shutout. And we talked about depth management, and Saros is another goalie who, after last season, backed up a little bit, felt he was chasing a little bit and got caught chasing in the playoffs. Like, the stereotype of these, you know, quote unquote, smaller guys, is they have to be more aggressive. And the reality is they aren't. The ones that are having success aren't. I mean, you look at Wolf, and we've talked before about how he backed up after that first year pro and sort of made some changes under Mackenzie Skapski to play a little more, both in the paint in terms of depth out from the goal line, but also east-west, always having something inside the lines of the post. Quick's had similar success under a similar philosophy since getting to the New York Rangers, and Saros is trying to take some of those steps himself. And, you know, Saros right now is fourth in the NHL in adjusted save percentage. Mm-hmm. So there's three undersized guys, four, I guess, just because Shesterkin's not huge by any means, that are having success despite sort of bucking what I think is, you know, a common misconception about smaller guys needing to be more aggressive.
We are chatting with Kevin Woodley. He's our goaltending expert. He joins us every Thursday from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com in Vancouver. Joins us here on Flames Talk. It's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Kevin, in our first segment today, we were kind of going back and forth about the Four Nations face-off, you know, some of the buzz that it feels like it is starting to build. I'm curious, you know, as we get closer to roster deadline, what are you thinking? Maybe what are you hearing about Team Canada's crease?
Well, I think a lot of people are wondering if Logan Thompson has a shot. And the truth is, the way he's playing, he deserves it. But hearing is a bit of a different matter. I think it's not set, obviously, but I think they are heavily leaning in Canada towards Jordan Binnington and Aiden Hill. I'd be surprised if those weren't the two goaltenders. And so the question becomes, who's your third? We've seen Stuart Skinner struggle nearby in Edmonton this season after a great finish to last year, including to Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final. And I just think even if he were going, if Hill's your guy, and to his credit, Hill has heated up a little bit here in the last couple of weeks after a slow start himself. But as much as there's style differences between the two, there's strength and weakness similarities in terms of the types of plays that they have success, or more importantly, don't have success against. And so if Hill's there, I don't see any chance of Skinner being there. The Logan Thompson thing, like plus 2.1 save percentage, slightly ahead of Wolf, right there with Igor Shesterkin on the, you know, the top 10 list in the National Hockey League. I don't even know if he's lost in regulation yet. The challenge there is, you know, this is a guy who's making less than the league minimum, has consistently provided above average to really good NHL-level goaltending, and yet the Vegas Golden Knights were quite happy to grant his trade request this past offseason. And there are two members of the Team Canada coaching staff that were in Vegas when he was there, and Bruce Cassidy and Pete DeBoer. And so I'm not sure that crossover means there's going to be a spot for him as a number three guy. So, you know, it's nothing nefarious. It's nothing terrible, but there's a reason that team was so willing to move on from a guy who is, you know, and they're cap conscious. They have to be, because they're so top heavy in their talent. And there was NHL goaltending for below the league minimum, and they were willing to move on. So I'm not entirely sure that he'll get that shot with this coaching staff, despite the fact that, you know, there's only one other goalie in the NHL right now with a Canadian passport that's outplayed him to this point in the season, and that's Cam Talbot. And if his birthdays pile up, I'm not sure he's an option either. So I'm curious to see where they go for the three, but I fully expect Jordan Binnington and Aiden Hill to be the one and two. And it's a curious decision. Everything up until this season, Jordan Binnington has been fully deserving. This year hasn't gone as well as the past, and obviously the World Championships didn't go as well as he or they had hoped. And yet everything I'm hearing is he will still be the first guy on that list for Canada.
Kevin, this is great as always. I want to wrap up. I want to stay on the Four Nations face-off. I want to ask you sort of a more big picture, maybe a little bit philosophical question. And so let me tee this up for you. I've wondered for years whether an organization, if you've drafted a young goalie, I've wondered, would you want that prospect to be the starting goalie for Team Canada at the World Juniors? Because it strikes me as, if you win gold, well, that's what you were supposed to do. And if it goes wrong, there's going to be a whole lot of criticism on the goaltender. We've seen that over and over in this country. And so with all the talk about Team Canada's net mining position for the Four Nations face-off, I'm curious, if you were an NHL goalie coach for a Binnington or an Aiden Hill or a Stuart Skinner or whomever, would you want your guy to be the starter for Canada?
Oh, that's a really good question. I never thought of it in those terms.
You know, Wes was very excited to ask this, by the way. He was fired up to ask this one to wrap up.
Like, it's pro sports, right? Like, if you can't handle the pressure cooker, then you're probably in the wrong business, especially as a goaltender. So I don't think you would hide from that. I think you would embrace it. There is a lot of pressure that comes with it, but, you know, two of those guys, you know, you mentioned Hill and Binnington, have won a cup, so they know what pressure is all about. If it was a young up-and-coming prospect, we talk about the world, you want to see how they react to pressure. So I don't think you hide from it. The one, like, you know, I'll put it in a different terms. If I've got a workforce number one goaltender, as few and far between as those tend to be these days, and he was on the fringes of it, I might quietly be hoping that he doesn't get picked, not so much from a pressure and spotlight standpoint, but from a take a break at that point in the season versus have your workload and the emotional drain increased in a season. Like, Connor Hellebuyck plays enough for the Winnipeg Jets.
Right.
He's going to be there and under that pressure. You know, I know in Vancouver, you know, I'm not entirely sure what Thatcher Demko's injury situation has done to his chances of being on that American roster behind the Hellebuyck and Ottinger, and does Swayman get it, or does Demko get back in time here to sort of make a case? But if I'm the Vancouver Canucks, given what's happened in the past number of years health-wise, you know, I'm probably quietly hoping that he has that time off to continue to make sure he's 100% in the playoffs, as opposed to, again, not just the physical toll of that tournament, but the emotional and mental toll that it will take on the starting goaltender. So I don't know that you hide from it from a pressure standpoint, but you have to be aware of the toll that takes physically and mentally on a goalie at a time in the season where you probably want them to just be sort of tapering so they can start to ramp up towards the playoffs. They may need a break after that before they start that ramp up because of it.
Great stuff as always, Kev. That was awesome, and we'll do it again next Thursday. But the Wolf stuff, the Four Nations stuff, that was awesome stuff as always. We will check you out at NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. We'll talk again next Thursday. Thank you as always, man.
Much appreciated. I'm going to text Skapski now and see if I passed.
Indeed you should.
Can you ask him if we passed?
Well, we already know.
I'm on it.
Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, guys.
That's Kevin Woodley, our goalie expert, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Barcast Hotline, using the same secret recipe since 1975 at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. Enjoying the game at home? Call for pickup or delivery at 403-248-3344. Starting to wrap things up this hour. Wes Gilbertson on Twitter, at Wes Gilbertson. We'll talk to you on Friday. My name is Pat Steinberg. Cam Hughes, Shan Vergie are outstanding producers this hour. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.